Lord, we thank you. Accept our thanksgiving. We are so grateful to you. Thank you for your word, the prophecies, the promises, all the good things in your heart concerning us. We don't deserve anything. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. Thank you, our God. Thanks for hearing our prayers tonight. We have prayed in your name, and we believe we have the petitions which we have made of you. Lord Jesus, we ask you come and breathe upon us again as we are continuing to fetch quest, Father, more description of your will, of that which you want to accomplish within our soul. Father, I'm asking you come and bring further us in understanding. Let there be more clarity, oh Lord. Use your word, use the scripture to paint, Lord, the hope of that which you want to give unto us. Thank you. Help my heart, help my spirit, Lord, to flow with your own spirit in the short time that we have, and bless us, Father. Thank you, our God. We give all the glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. James 1, verse 17, it says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. And of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. A kind of first fruit of what? First fruit of his creatures. Of his creatures. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said that the first fruit of his creatures means the first fruit is the best, right? The best of his creatures. I said before that his creatures here, the way the Spirit of God quickened it in my heart is that his creatures doesn't just mean everything that he created, but they mean creatures that live and function, whose life and function has to do with him. Right? It has to do with him. They're actually his creatures. Praise God. We saw that coming into that state of being first fruit of his creature is what God actually made Adam to become. But Adam was given a destiny in Eden to follow a program that will actually begat him. I don't know which tense to use. Please forgive me. I don't know if the King James tense is too much. It's different from normal. Praise God. He didn't fulfilled. So it's clear that there was a program of, or a cause of obedience that was in Eden for Adam. It was set. The Lord already planned the cause, the program of obedience for him. And we're just waiting that this man should just follow the plan that I've made for him. But you saw that he couldn't do that. Why? Because he was tempted. He was tempted. Praise God. Say tempted. So that temptation was to make Adam, to shift Adam away from his cause of obedience. There was an obedience that was ordained for him, which God had designed for him to fulfill in the Garden of Eden, praise God. But he was tempted away from that cause. So he never made real advancement in obeying God. So he didn't really fulfill the potential of his living soul, right? Rather, he fell below that potential. Praise God. Praise God. Now, when God created Adam, when he saw the life that God gave to him, you know what really failed, and this is one thing that we have to really know, is that what really failed in Eden was the living soul life. Yeah, is what? The living soul life is what it failed. Even though that life has some kind of excellency, when Adam left the Garden of Eden, we saw he was still able to walk with God. You can't walking with God at any level. Once you're walking with God, that Lord God, walking with that Lord God is an excellent thing. It takes an excellent man to walk with God. You get what I'm saying? That even though Adam had fell below his potential, but he was still able to carry out some kind of, to a level, praise God. You see, he did that. Abel, his son, did that after him. Abel was killed, right? And then, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Abel was killed. Then Seth, Enos, right? All of the generations of Adam, you see those Adams, they were walking with God. If they are walking with God, it means they were doing some kind of obedience. Praise. Amen. Hallelujah. They are doing some kind of what? Obedience. Some kind of obedience. Thank you, Jesus. But they are not doing it at the level that is in God's vision, right, or in God's mind. There's a kind of obedience that's in God's mind, which is what the Garden of Eden was meant for. Garden of Eden was meant for obedience at a level. Once the life had fallen below being able to fulfill that thing, what happened? They moved him away from the garden. Say, okay, let's go outside the garden and let's measure out a kind of walk with you. Praise God. That was below that what he was doing. Now, Abel was, praise God, Abel was doing some obedience. Do you agree? Obedience culminates is to create part, is to help for you to is for advancement, right? The reason for obedience is to help with advancement. And the trajectory of advancement of the soul should end in, best way to put the issue, end in blood. Praise God. the way First Peter put it, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto what? You see, obedience, and then what? So, of course, this is the destiny of the elect. This one is the destiny of the elect. So, when you are qualifying the trajectory of obedience, which the elect will do, it will end in not just any kind of blood. There's a particular blood which it results into. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Sprinkling, when you hear that thing of sprinkling of blood, sprinkling of blood is presentation of blood. So, sprinkling of blood cannot be done before obedience is done. Because if you have not done obedience, right, the blood that you need for to present can't be generated. Obedience is actually the process whereby you are able to gain access to the blood, praise God, which God that is present. There's something called this blood. There's a peculiarity of the blood of sprinkling. In Hebrews chapter 12, they spoke to about that Zion. They say, "You've come to Mount Zion." Let's see that. And Jesus, "You've come to amen. You've come to Mount Zion." Hebrews 12, verse 22. Amen. Praise God. He says, "And but you are come unto Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made," what? Spirits of just men. I've explained to you, this is the state of the Hebrew church. At this point, Zion has been raised, right? Zion is, what is Zion in the spirit? Zion in the spirit is the platform for the kind of obedience that God is looking for. Right, when God to get his soul to a place where he can obey God at the level that God that was in God's mind when he decided to create, there has to be what? Zion. Praise God. He called your come to Mount Zion. He called Zion now the city of the living God. Now you're seeing that the city of the word. So it means that Zion graduates his soul into an equivalency of the Adamic beginning. Not the exact Adamic beginning, but the equivalency of the Adamic beginning, which is the level of interaction with the living God, right? Which is what the living soul had, right? That dimension of living, right? Say living. And when you say living, living is just is the soul that will step on Zion, is living soul. I mean, this, when I say soul, soul of the feet, the soul of the feet that should step on Zion is the soul, is the living soul. So Zion is raised to carry the living. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? You get what I mean? That the living. Say living. Okay. Praise God. So they are the equivalent of that. And there is the equivalent of that in the spirit. See, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of where of who? Angels. Innumerable company of angels. These angels here are not all the kind of angels. They are the highest class, that high class who can stay on Zion, not in Zion, on Zion. Praise God. It means that they have the ability to have a company that is above the Zionic summit. Are you seeing that? They have what company that is what above the what the Zionic summit. Hallelujah. Amen. 23 to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn. Praise God. The General Assembly and the what? The church. So what is this church of the firstborn? This is what we saw in Hebrews chapter 2. Right? It's in the midst of the church. Right, that who are I and saying, I will declare thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the church, will I was sing praise. So we can say, who are the church of the firstborn is the church of the elect. Right, that's the church of who? Of the elect. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who have been through the sanctification of the Spirit. That was how there's the Zionic foundation was built through their sanctification of the Spirit. And they are now unto obedience. When they say you are come to Mount Zion, they don't mean you're just beginning to now get to the base of Zion. You say you have come to. It actually means that Zion has actually been raised among your company. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? An innumerable company of angels to the General Assembly, the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the Judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and then to who? Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Of course, the new covenant is a blood covenant, right? Yes, but the new covenant is the point when you have the new covenant is the point where blood, you have the initiation of blood, right? Right, that's covenant. Covenant just means that the only covenant God does is blood covenant. God doesn't accept any other covenant. Say, God, can I make covenant with you with my shoe? Say, God, say, no, your shoe is not good enough. Can I use my money? Money, it's just blood. It's only blood. Are you willing to do blood? If you don't want to do blood, then you can't do God. God only does blood. God is a high spirit. Don't come around God without blood. Don't come there to play and say, God, can I dance for you and go back? God say, no, I don't need entertainers. Say, God, what can I do? We have that negotiation. What can I do that doesn't involve blood? God say, no, I'm a God of blood. You understand what I mean? So new covenant, but there is the initiation of the new covenant. Then he calls it the blood of sprinkling that speaketh toward better things than that of Abel. So this Jesus is the medium to mediate the covenant means is to everything that has to do with the journey into the covenant. That Jesus is the medium of that, right? He is the mediator. So once you get to this place, you must find Jesus, right? Now, you see, to Jesus, the mediator, or we speak better things than the blood of Abel, that's the last thing. That's the and to Jesus. But before Jesus, praise God, you access the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, the General Assembly, Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the Judge of all, Spirit of just men made perfect. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Then he's now initiating Jesus. to mediate the covenant and blood of what? Sprinkling. So what do you say, sir? Those are, everything I was mentioning are what? Realms of their engagement of obediences that will lead toward sprinkling. Are you seeing that? Everything here ended up with what? Sprinkling. Right? Sprinkling is the point of speaking. That is, the sprinkling blood is the speaking blood. The sprinkled blood is the what? Is the speaking blood. Is a blood that has utterance. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But to come here, first of all, there must have been a mediation with the covenant. Are you seeing that? Amen. Amen. Now, he spoke about, made reference to the blood of Springer that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Now, what do we know about Abel? Abel. Say Abel. Abel also had his own blood, which testified, and he said, "You cried to me from the ground," and all of that. But one thing that we know from about Abel from the previous chapter is that Abel, by faith, offered unto God, amen, a more excellent, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet what speaketh. Praise God. So the Abel had his own, there was the speech of his own blood, and there's that of Jesus that speaketh what? Better things than the blood of Abel. Praise God. So but you see, but let's go back to Abel. Let's see. These things are amen. So you see, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, our God testifying of his gift. This is a place of judgment. Right? In other words, in this journey, you're going to meet God, the judge of all, first. God, the judge of all, then spirit of just men who have passed through the God, the judge of all, who have been declared, who were made perfect. You can't call them just men if they've not been judged. If they have not, are you getting what I'm saying? Do you see that? So what is that God, the judge of all? He's the one who testifies concerning men. So when you say a just man, is a just man who God has adjudged to be just. Praise God. Are you seeing that? Yeah, so, but there's a realm in which that judgment of God, this thing now, you see, this judgment, they say God, the judge of all, God, the judge of all, that's not his highest position. That God, judge of all, is not God's highest position. In other words, it's not his seated position. There's a way you see God. God seated is God. Judgment is the foundation of the throne. It's not the seat of the throne. The seat is a mercy seat. And mercy exalts over judgment. It triumphs over judgment. In other words, mercy is higher than judgment. It's more elevated than what? Than judgment. So you see the conversation of sprinkling is actually a mercy conversation. It's not really a judgment conversation. Ask me what is mercy conversation. I don't know yet.
Daddy will teach us when he gets to that place. What does the blood say to the seat? I don't know. But we know it's better things. Say better things. Better things. Hallelujah. Yeah. So mercy means the seating attitude of God. Mercy is the seated attitude of God. Mercy seat, right? That's the apex, the seated right attitude of God. But judgment, even though they speak, for example, they make reference of, let's say, the judgment seat of Christ. You remember that's 2 Corinthians chapter what? Chapter 5, that's of Christ. Amen. But you won't see something like the judgment seat of God. I've not seen something like that. Praise God. When they speak of judgment, they speak about the throne. But throne is not just seat. When they say throne, when they say midst of the throne is actually almost like a region. A throne involves a standing dimension and a seated dimension. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Do you agree with what I'm saying to you? The throne has both what? Standing dimension and then what? A seated dimension. That throne is a big thing. Hallelujah. So when you talk of judgment, they didn't speak of judgment. He said that God who stands in the congregation, God standeth, not seateth. God standeth in the word congregation of the mighty, and he judgeth among the gods. Amen.
Amen.
Are you seeing what I'm saying? Now, so what do you judge? What do you judge? Sir? You judge obedience. There is obedience in dimension. There is obedience before blood. There is obedience in blood. In other words, there is obedience. You must obey the word. Right? The word to obey are in dimension, as Daddy has taught us. Right? You have to obey the solid word and the flowing word. Right? They are realms of obedience. Then, through mediation of Jesus, you can have access to what? To blood, covenant. In the covenant are what? Obediences. Are you seeing? Those are all realms of judgment. Every realm of obedience is a realm of judgment. They are judgments, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Of God for every dimension of, you know, obedience which the soul will arrive at. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
So, but, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go back to that Abel, offer to God. So you see that Abel, before, say, and Abel, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent word, sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So God testifying of his gift. That means God has judged his gifts. And God has judged it righteous, that God the judge of all. Hallelujah. Now, this obedience here, that's what they are speaking about here. Whenever you hear sacrifice, is what?
Obedience.
Check it in Chronicles, chapter 15, I think. When Samuel was speaking to Saul, praise God. Are you following me? First Samuel 15, verse 22, he said, and Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You see that? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and toward hearken than the fat of rams. So when they are comparing two things, they are telling you these things are kind of equivalency, but one, or they are in the same order, but one is more preferable. That you can take it and conserve it in another form. And then the other one is more preferable. Praise God. So he said that at the Lord, and someone said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. To behold, to obey is what is better than sacrifice. It's better. If it's better, it means that they are in order of comparison. They are in the same category of things. But one is better. Praise God. So Abel offering unto God a more excellent sacrifice. I want to ask you, what was the sacrifice of Abel which was more excellent than that of Cain, sir? Because he's obedient. Is that the sacrifice? It's clear not, because when God was saying that God is a God had respect unto, and then his word is offering. It was something when he was also speaking to Cain. He said, I know your brother's works were what? Righteous, and yours are what? Are evil. So he was on the basis of what he was doing. Right?
Yes, sir.
Do you agree? So it was on the basis of the obediences of Abel, right? That was what God was looking as a sacrifice. But he would call it a more excellent word, sacrifice than that of Cain. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, you see, Adam, God created Adam as a living soul. That living soul, what he fell from was he fell from the standard, the quality of the kind of obedience, right, that God rewards. This is the Bible scripture is trying to explain something to you. And that it's not that Adam was he was bad or something. No. They even went to his descendant Abel and told you that this Abel you're seeing, his sacrifice was more excellent than that of Cain. And God actually judged him and said, this is actually a righteous man. But the other verse told us that we have another one, the blood of Jesus, praise God, that speaketh better things. If you can't have the speaking of the blood, cannot be better than the obediences that generated the blood. The tying obediences. Right? Do you see that? So Jesus, if he has a blood that speaketh better things, it means that Jesus did better obediences. Or Jesus obeyed better. Or Jesus was able to offer a more excellent sacrifice than Abel. Now, you're now seeing why they said that this man is the one who will tie the destiny of the elect to. Right? The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, means there are things that God foreknew. Right? Then they have to go through a process. Their type, it speaks about their type of sanctification. So the type of their sanctification will determine the kind of obedience they are able to fall into and they are able to do. If you make their sanctification different, they won't be able to arrive at this obedience. And if they arrive at a low, as an inferior obedience, right, they will not be able to connect the blood of Jesus Christ. It means that they can actually fail. They won't be able to meet the mediator. Right? Because that mediator is like a medium. Jesus is the medium. Jesus, because it's his blood. So he's the one that gives access to blood. He's the one that the blood is actually is the that's why he told in the supper. He said, this is the new what? Testament in whose blood? Is in my blood. Is of me to give. he gave it to them. Praise God. Are you seeing that? So when they call Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, they actually tell you that he's actually the mediator of his blood. Right? In other words, that he is a kind of medium. Hallelujah. Jesus is a medium for his blood. Now, in the mediation of Jesus is some kind of high priestly empowerment. Both high priestly empowerment and priestly empowerment for you to have access into his blood. Of course, the priestly empowerment of him is the provision of the sanctification of the Spirit. What you call sanctification of the Spirit is a unique kind of sanctification, praise God, that gives you access to what? To Jesus. Amen. Amen. Or that gives you access into... If I want to ask you, what is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus, of course, is a package. Jesus is a program. He's a fresh program. He's a new program. Inside Jesus are courses, right, of peculiar things. A soul can do something in Jesus. You can do something outside Jesus. The fact that you're a Christian doesn't mean that what you are doing is Jesus. You can be a Christian, you're not doing Jesus, and you are doing other things. Right? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, Adam was... So when you say Adam was a kind of man who was also given equipment for what? Obedience as well. They call him the first man. First man who was made a living soul. Praise God. Now, when God made Adam, Adam was a kind of, was a creature of God. Praise God. Adam was a creature of God. But that creature, we know the destiny of creature is for pleasure, right? That was what Revelation, the elders revealed to us, right? That you have what? For you are created all things. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were. When you hear the word his creatures, it's not a general term. His creatures means beings that have, whose purpose of life have become fashioned for his pleasure. Right? You see that for his pleasure, to give him pleasure. That's actually they are telling you here, what is this the actual purpose of creatures of God? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you now see that when they said this thing, they said this after just observing creatures. Kind of his creatures. They are the four beasts. They call them four living creatures. Why are they calling them four living creatures? They are not saying they are creatures in terms of a goat, butterfly, and lizard, and everything. No. They are defining this. The elders are now defining who is a creature, really. They just looked and saw this. So when those beasts give the glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, then the 24 elders now fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crown before the throne, saying. So what these guys just did is provoking what they're about to say. Right? So it means that it's like something came on the inside to begin to orate concerning the purpose of creatures. Right? It's to give pleasure to him. And those four ones, they were doing it at a level that was highly terrific, like a terrific level. So when you think of the four living creatures, what they are doing, hallelujah, that should qualify the word that you might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Hallelujah. Now, of course, the four living, we settled this one yesterday, that the four living creatures are angels, they are heavenly. They couldn't produce, they can't produce the kind of pleasure. Another word, pleasure. Pleasure is what God drinks from obedience. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what he feeds on, from obediences. Hallelujah. Do you agree with what I'm saying to you? So those ones, they are doing something nice, but they are not doing it at the level that fulfills the dream of God. When God came to the earth and was bringing Adam forth, they were there, and they were doing their own thing at a level. Hallelujah. But God knows that the creatures who will fulfill the pleasure that he is looking for at this level must be begotten creatures. They must be what? They must be begotten. So it's not just enough to be an excellent creature. Do you understand me? It's not just enough to be what? An excellent creature, because excellence is actually a kind of measure of obedience. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. There are measures of excellence. Bless you, the Lord, all you his angels who excel in strength. and do his commandment. That's their obedience. They excel in strength and obey him, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Praise God. Are you seeing that? So there is excellence, right, of obedience. These angels are doing it at a level that's very, very high and terrific, but they don't have a kind of quality that's able to satisfy God. Praise God. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Hallelujah. I'm just, you know what this message is showing you? It's very something very simple. Well, it sounds like one kind of message. It's a very simple thing. I'm just trying to explain to you what your life is all about. Do you get what I'm saying? I know that's where our main confusion, that's why we are confused. That's why sometimes we feel angry at God, we feel angry at things, we feel angry at all, yeah, because we are not very clear on what our life is all about. You don't know. You wonder, why can't God leave me alone? You don't know why he's not leaving you alone. You don't know where the intent, the will, the purpose of God, where it's coming from. What is driving? You don't know how old that appetite, desire in God is. What he has done and the investment he has made for him to reap. You see that husbandman, right, who awaited for the precious fruit of the earth and had you sitting down here is part of his long patience. He's still patient. He had more long patience for her that to reap that what precious fruit. To God, it's a precious fruit of the earth. Heaven can't bring forth that thing. And God values what the angels are giving him, but that is not, they can't give him the preciousness of fruit. There's that which only the earth can bring forth unto God. But you see, just weak man. Weak man. See, what is man whose breath is in his nostril? You know, that's how God started with him, putting breath into his nostril. He said, what is that man? Isn't God that just that take away breath? He's nothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Praise God. So these angels, they excel in strength, right? They do his commandment. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, do his commandment.
Do his commandments.
Now you see this doing this commandment is doing the commandment, or you call it obedience. I said it is the obedience is the propeller of movement, of journeying towards God. Right? Blessed are they that do his commandment. They will have what? Right to the tree of life. That's Revelation chapter 22, right? Is that 22? Check it. For verse 14, amen. Say, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree. So you see what was denied Adam, or what Adam's life could not, what he fell from. And they say, you no longer have this thing. If you are not willing to take the task of the kind of obedience of life that I'm looking for, then you're not qualified for right. Means that's why they closed the way. You see, when they brought a cherub to cover what the way to the tree. Now, why would it be a cherub that would do it? Because cherubs are doers of commandment. It's somebody who knows about something who can cover it, right? That way is not one rule that you see. That's not how that way is. Do you understand me? Where God put Adam in the garden, Adam can't just walk to the tree of life that by himself and he won't get there. He won't get there. He will need a high-powered being to show him to access to that place. And a wicked one came quickly. Right? To quickly give him what? Yeah. You know, of course, he can get there. That way to access, get to that tree zone, because it was not mysterious to him, because he was a cherub. Two. He was an anointed cherub. It means that he was a spirit. That's what he used to do before, blessing the Lord. He used to do that, right? Doing his commandment. He used to do that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, of course, how do I know he knows the road there? He was able to get to right beside it to sow his own seed. You understand what I mean? Praise God. So it would take a being like that in the present, the highest caliber of creature, who can create, who can help safeguard the way, praise God, of that tree, must also be a being that's also an obedient creature. Right? It will take what? An obedient creature. A creature that's obedient to the kind of thing that the way to the tree is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Do you get what I'm saying to you? Aha. Thank you, Jesus. So, are you seeing what obedience does to a person? It gives you right. Say right. Blessed are they that do his commandments, for they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So you're seeing what Adam fell from, right? Praise God. Now, when Adam fell, God has calculated everything. He saw everything about Adam, and he was able to find what is the weakness, the problem with Adam. What is the problem with Adam? Why was Adam not able to maintain that cause of obedience? Because if God is still going to have a chance to bring man back to what he wants man to achieve, right, which is to make man what? An obedient man. He must solve, he has to bring a man, he has to invent another man, right, in whom the problem that the first man had is solved. Right, he must invent another man that has the solution, bearing in mind that the evil guy who was tempted and fell, the other one, was still around. That one is not going anywhere. That adversary, the devil, who's going around like a roller, he's still, God is seeing him, but God has to go and reinvent. So when God wanted to solve the problem, God did not just go. He didn't go into the surface. God did not go into his lordship alone. He didn't go into his what? His lordship alone to try and, of course, everything he did in his lordship, you know, before Jesus came, he did some things. He found Abraham, he led Abraham, praise God. Then all of those things came, he brought the law. That was all in his lordship. In his lordship, he brought the law, he gave laws. He now saw that the same problem was still there with man. The same problem was still there with man. Praise God. So what God realized is that just trying to train men is not enough. You know, if that was very clear from Genesis, right? Because after Adam fell, Adam was not rejecting training. Praise God. Adam wasn't what? It's just that Adam's training was short. He fell below. I want you to see the picture of that Adam thing, that Genesis very clearly. Now, when God came in chapter 3, praise God. Let's see chapter 3 very quickly. Said, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? Praise God. And the Lord God called unto Adam, said to him, what? Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest what? Not eat. Are you seeing that? It means that Adam had commandment. This is the way God described the instruction which you give to Adam. He called them commandment. What is commandment? Commandment just means something to be obeyed. Praise God. Something to what? To be obeyed. He said that whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. Praise God. So you see Adam. So Adam in the garden, God was commanding him. He couldn't do it. Right? The commandments. When you say, Adam, going to eat what God said he shouldn't eat. The reason why he eats that fruit is because the one that God has commanded, the thing, you know, that's not the only commandment. God said, don't eat of this. That's one commandment. But there are other commandments. Of this you may freely eat. He gave him that. Then tend, keep it. All of those things. Those are commandments of Adam. Hallelujah. But the reason why he did this one is because he felt weak in doing this commandment. But seeing him in Eden, not able to do commandment, then watch Adam, as soon as leaving Eden, now able to do commandment. Is anybody following me? Not just him, his sons. Abel was doing commandment. All those Adams, they were all doing commandment outside. But commandment in the garden. Right, sir. Right, that will tell you that what, sir? The commandments outside are lower than the commandment what? Inside. Hallelujah. Amen. So what they were doing outside. You saw, even though they were doing commandment, but you're seeing that the speed of death and sin was faster than the commandment they could do outside. They were all walking with God. They were living. That's how Genesis puts it. But they couldn't walk and live and obey enough to bring them back. And it makes sense because if they had power for that, they shouldn't have come out in the first place. If he came short, he fell short. Right? But when God gave the law, so you need to see where the problem is. When God gave the law, right, men couldn't do the law, but there was nothing wrong with the law. That's what Paul was saying in Romans 7. The law is righteous. It wasn't the law's problem. But sin took occasion by the word commandment. Romans 7. And by it slew me. Sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of... Means sin was there. Commandment is coming. And instead of me using it, sin is using it faster than I can use it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin is dead. So you really can't blame all these law people. You get what I'm saying? Don't, before you go and blame those law guys, Israelites, for failing, start blame from Adam, Abel. All the problem that was showing up in that all time, they all had it since. It was just hiding. The law brought it out in a very plain way when it became plain and written. Right? Check in chapter 8, next chapter. Right? It said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. So, it means that law is actually an okay thing. But when you now bring it because of what it's interacting with, which is the flesh, it became weak through what? The flesh. It became weak. So there was something that is weak. There's a weakness in man toward what? Obedience. That weakness is a high what? Weakness. Is a high weakness. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying to you? Glory to God. I just wanted to see one thing. If I can do that tonight, then it's okay. We'll come tomorrow. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. To see, you see the New Testament. The first thing the New Testament wants to give to you is to help you to get to a kind of nature of obedience. Is to actually to release the power of a kind of obedience to the soul, right? That is not normal, is not ordinary. Praise God. Is to make you be able to do an obedience that Adam fell below, that Adam could not do. Amen. So God wanting to do that didn't go into his lordship alone, can't do it. He realized that what he needs to do is to go into his creature essence and create again. Do you see that he had to do what? He had to go and do what? He had to create again. God had to create again. He had to do what? Create. Now, what God created the second time is not the same as what he created the first time. Now, I want to ask you, why didn't God just create the first time? God, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he has something that doesn't bring the best first. Maybe I don't know. There are many things. Maybe we'll understand one day. Praise God. So God had to do what? He had to create, because what he was looking for was a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Are you seeing that? Amen.
Amen.
So you had the first man, which was Adam, who was a living soul. Right? Then you have the second man, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, who was not a living soul. But who is a quickening spirit. Now, when they say living soul and quickening spirit, what they are telling you is what they were made into. What they were made into. What they were made into. Now, the process of making them was different. See, as it's written, the first man was made a living soul. The last man was made a quickening what? Spirit. Of course, that quickening spirit is, of course, in the soul dimension, right? But it's the kind of quality of the material that they put in the soul. Now, when God equips soul with substance, with nature, God has only one reason for equipping the soul with nature, is for obedience. Because he's getting ready to give that soul a kind of challenge of obedience. Do you see that? Praise God. That challenge of obedience, that soul is meant to fulfill. So the difference between the living soul and the quickening spirit, which is a type of soul nature. Both of these things are soul natures. One is a living soul nature. The other one is a quickening spirit nature. The difference between them is their obedience capacity. Praise God. What's the difference between them? Is their obedience what? Capacity. Their obedience capacity. So when God made Adam, you see that living soul itself has inside of it a kind of foundation in it. Right? That foundation in the living soul is not really very visible, right? Because you are not the foundation is inside the soul. Do you get that? You are not, it's not clear. We didn't see Adam journeying. We say Adam was a Christ first, then that Christ was a foundation, and then after that, Adam now became spiritual. After he became spiritual, then he now became, no, God just made him right at that what, at that level. Amen. But the reason why we have the concept of Christ, praise God. Hallelujah. The reason why we have the concept of Christ is because of man, where man fell to, he needs first something to elevate him, right? Or because the man that God was coming to save needed a sanctification. Adam did not need a sanctification because he didn't have any issue when God made him fresh. But the man that God wants to save now, God needs a what? A sanctification. Right? And that sanctification, there is a spirit of that sanctification. The spirit of that sanctification is a type of spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is a what? Type of spirit. What type of spirit? It's a new spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Say new spirit.
New spirit.
Thank you, Jesus. I think I better stop at this point. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Worship you, Marikesta Siebahona, and Freheta. Worship your name. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for our prayers today. Father, we ask for, Lord, that you will help us, Lord. That heaven will bring, Lord, to us everything that we have prayed for, all our the desires of our soul, the desires of our heart, Lord. I pray that you will give it to us in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that these words, Lord, that you given to us, you will cause there to be an import, a spiritual import, Father, of all the things that you have spoken to us, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that let your Holy Ghost quicken the understanding, quicken the thought, even in our heart. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the praise. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.